Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
1 Samuel 30:1 says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, that was a Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought him hither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake him? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Praise be unto God. You know, for some time the Lord been placing on my heart something. Because I remember a few years ago that He gave me a word. Something had happened and something had devastated my soul. Something happened in the church and I saw great loss, and I was wondering how the church was going to overcome. And I was praying about it, and I was saying, "Lord, I need your touch, I need your help, I need for you to intervene." And He spoke to me on a Tuesday night. He said, "When you see this thing come to pass, know of a surety that I will restore."
That's right.
The next day I was out here working on this building. We had spent out here working all day and into the night. And that night, while we were here working, that thing that the Lord told me that I should be looking for, that when I saw it happen, that it would be a sign that He would surely restore all, happened right in front of me while I was standing right there, and I said, and the next week, that which had been lost had been restored. Somebody glorify God. Hallelujah. Something else that the Lord had been placing on my spirit for the past couple of years. Now, I get really careful when I start preaching like this, because I have seen preachers, when they get into the kind of spiritual things that God leads us to, when they forget who they are, when they forget that they're not God, just because God starts using them mightily, when God starts using them powerfully, they forget who they are, they start to go insane, they start preaching some stuff, the crazy stuff that's off the wall. And they get lost in it, they find themselves drifting away from the truth and the reality of God, and they start making it their own. But God spoke to me, and like I said, I've been really careful about this. He spoke to me and He said, "Man of God," and when He said that to me, I knew exactly what He meant. He said, "You're my man. You are walking as a creature of faith. I have anointed you. I have poured out my spirit upon you. Man of God, it's time for you to start calling those things which are not as though they were. It's time for you to start prophesying." And I thought, well, Lord, I didn't know that I was supposed to prophesy anything except what you gave me. And He showed me something. When I am in the anointing of God, when the anointing of God is flowing over me, I can prophesy things that we need to see come to pass. But I don't need to try to do that when the anointing's not there. But when the anointing is moving over me,
said, Lord, I'm going to start doing that. And I did.
Praise be to God. And things started coming to pass. Things started happening. I started watching my prayer life take a skyrocket high. I started watching the things of God take place and answering prayers and meeting needs. I started seeing the miracles of God, and I started saying, be careful, fat boy. You don't lose yourself in this. You remember that it's God who does these things. Hallelujah. Come on now. Well, there was a message that was sitting in my computer for I don't know how long. And I was going over those messages this week and looking at them, and this one jumped out at me. And the Lord said, he said, there it is, that's the one. And then he reminded me of those two instances I just got to telling you about. He reminded me of the time he spoke and said, when you see this happen, be rest of assurity that I'm going to make this happen. And it happened. Then it reminded me that he told me to start prophesying. And we would start seeing it take place. And then he said, now preach this message. Now, I don't know how many of you realize what was going on when David and his armies returned to Ziklag. Ziklag was home. Ziklag was where they had made their residence. David wasn't king yet. He was just leading the armies. David was getting to the point that they were singing songs about him. They were saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. Saul was starting to get jealous of him. But while David and the armies of Israel were out whooping the Philistines, putting a royal whooping up on them, let me tell you. While all the men from the army at Ziklag had left, I'm wondering if maybe Ziklag had, might have been where the barracks was, where all the soldiers lived, like the military base. It was Seymour Johnson. Ziklag. While all the military was gone to fight the Philistines, the Amalekites said, there ain't nobody there protecting Ziklag. And they decided they were going to go in there and wreak havoc. Now, can you imagine? I'm just sitting here thinking that maybe they had decided that they wanted to destroy those guys' faith. That they wanted to go in there and destroy their joy. Because they've been seeing victories all over the place. And they thought, well, what better way to steal their joy than to go into their house and steal their wives and children? Burn their homes to the ground. And when they come home from their victory, they ride up on this defeat. Now that, when they come back, they did that. The Amalekites, they went into Ziklag, into their home, where the base was. They went up to the military base. They got past all that gate security. Y'all ain't never tried to get on the base, have you? They got past all that gate security, got in there, and they stole, because there weren't no men there to protect them. They stole all their wives and their children. And when the armies of Israel and David lead them back to Ziklag, when they come back to Ziklag, oh my goodness, the destruction, the shock, the awe, the devastation of their spirit, they were crying. The Bible said they cried till they couldn't cry no more. And they got mad at David. Why not get mad at David? He's the one that had us out there fighting the Philistines. We should have been here protecting our families. Why not get mad at the pastor? He's the one who should have seen this coming. I love y'all. Why not get upset with David? Because he's supposed to be our protector. Look what he's let happen. They got to the point they were getting ready to stone David. And you know, stoning, they ain't talking about him walking around smoking weed. They were going to grab a bunch of rocks and hit him with them until he died. That's what stoning is. But David was just as upset as the other men were. He had cried till he couldn't cry no more. He was upset. They stole his wives too. They stole his family too. And David was upset. And David said, you know what? I'm going to sit here and whine and cry and fall all to pieces. And I'm going to call all these army fellows and I'm going to complain and cry to them. I don't remember him saying that. No, I don't remember that. You know what my Bible tells me David did? He encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yes, he did.
He went to prayer.
Yes.
He went before God.
Yes.
And he said, God, you know what's going on. You see what's happening here. You see what's been taking place. You see that the Amalekites have come in here and they've stolen our joy. They've stolen our families. They've destroyed our homes. Lord, I know I'm supposed to have a good heart. But do I need to chase them fellas down? Lord, I'm destroyed here. Tell me what to do. And the Lord said, yeah.
Ketchum, I'm going to anoint you in battle. I'm going to make sure that you are victorious and you shall restore all.
Amen.
Do you know what God did not tell David to do?
Come on now.
God did not tell David, David, go on in there and lay on your couch and cry. And me and the angels are going to go over here and grab up your family and bring them back. Now, David, you get your army fellows together, y'all go to the bar and you get good sloppy drunk. And y'all whine and cry about what you done lost. And I will take care of that for you.
Come on, man.
That is not what God said.
No,
God said, boy, get up off your hind paws.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Go chase them down, and I will guarantee you victory when you do. Has anybody here ever suffered? Has anybody here ever felt like that the enemy has come in and taken everything you got to the point that you cry and you feel like you've cried till you can't cry no more?
All right, come on now.
I must be the only one. Come on now. Now what do we do? Do we sit there and whine and cry and say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do no more? I'm going to tell you something, saints. I have been in some very difficult situations. I have been in some very horrible, horrible times. The devil has come against me and my family. He has come against me in my churches. He's come against me in so many different ways. He has come against my job. He's come against my finances. He's come against my church finances. He's come against my church people. He's come against us to the point that I thought, what in the world's going to happen? We're going to fold up. Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said to me, go lay down and die. No, I ain't said that. You know, the Lord, basically, whenever something like that's going on, do you know what the Lord says to me? First thing you need to do is go pray. Get your head right, son. Then get up off your hind parts. And go do such and so. Go do this and that. Go do what I tell you to do. And when I do that, you would be amazed. When I do what the Lord says, it's utter unbelief, but I stand here. When you do what the Lord says and get up and go partake in what He says for you to go do, guess what happens? You get it back. You get you have the victory. When the Lord says, get up and I will bless you, you get the victory. But I don't go and pray and say, Lord, I'm so miserable. I don't know what to do. And the Lord says, okay, son, sit there. And you sit there and wallow in it and whine and cry. I love y'all. Y'all sit there and whine and cry and wait for me to bring everything back to you. Is that what God says to us?
No.
He says, get up and go find your place of prayer. Do like David did.
Amen.
Encourage yourself in the Lord. Then seek His face. And when you know when you go pray about these things, it is not time to go pray. God, God, this has made me miserable. This is what you do. God, this has made me miserable. But I know who you are. I know who it is that I serve. I know what you're capable of. I know what you're going to do in my life. I know what you can do in my life. All you got to do, Lord, is point me in the direction you want me to go. Send me. I will get up on my fat hind part. And I will go do what you tell me to do. And I know that when I go do what you tell me to do, I shall restore all. Come on, somebody. Have to sit down and wallow in misery because we have seen defeat.
That's right.
And God forbid you should watch the news or social media, because the news today is not news. The news today is a liberal government weapon against society. The news is specifically designed to make you think a certain thing, a certain way, the way the government wants you to think. They are designed to tear down your character. They're designed to tear down your faith. They're designed to tear down your strength.
You watch the news and you're going to get utterly destroyed. You're going to say, well, we might as well give up and die.
I ain't died yet.
The devil's tried to kill me more than one time, Brother Bob. Can you say amen?
Amen, that's right.
But I ain't died yet. I have seen some that have died. And I pray for them and they come back.
All right.
Oh, wait a minute now. Death is the end of everything. If you die, it's all over. You can't fight no more. Oh, no, 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 I say.
That's right.
God says it's not your time.
The Lord himself has raised the dead. He has anointed his own disciples to raise the dead. And I have seen and heard of a number of, I have seen the dead raised. I have heard testimonies from other men that I knew that have raised the dead. The death is not the end all completion of everything. It's not the utter defeat that the enemy wants you to think that it is.
Come on.
Oh, Lord, I won't go here. There's a whole lot of times when we see good, faithful people pass away.
Yes.
And it's disturbing. It's troubling. Well, they're good folks, Brother Mac. How come they die? What about those innocent children? Why are they dying? My Bible tells me that even for the very elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. My mom and dad passed away. It was a destruction to my joy. It was a destruction to my peace. It hurt me. It still hurts me. But do you know what? I do have a peace now. I have a peace knowing that neither my mother nor my daddy are going to suffer through this junk that Biden is bringing on the world. They ain't suffering through COVID. My mother, I declare to you, COVID would have devastated her joy. It would have utterly destroyed her. Not that she was a faithless woman, but my mother, she was sensitive. She was wary. She was loving. And there was nothing coming near her loved ones.
Yeah.
She wasn't terrified for herself. She was terrified for them that she loved. What are you saying, Brother Mac? I'm saying that sometimes even death is a gift from God.
That's right.
There was one time a child passed away and I said, God, why? That sweet, innocent child. Why would you let that child die? He said, you're looking at this wrong. He said, that child's life is over. Life is but a breath, a vapor. It's breathed and gone. He said, that child's life is over. And now, she's with me. Like you keep saying you want to be. I got her. But if I had left her there, the decisions that her parents were making and the people around her were making would have led her to an utterly destructive, painful suffering of a life. He said, I loved her too much to let her go through that. And that's whenever I hear about the loss of a child now, that's the first thing that comes through my mind is God saying, you don't know what was coming their way. Well, God, you could have healed them. I did.
That's right.
Well, God, we don't understand. How come you call that healing? Because you don't understand the way I do. Because my Bible teaches me that the righteousness of God is a foolishness to men.
That's right.
We try to think about the righteousness of God and we try to figure God out. It starts looking stupid.
That's right.
That's how come we got so many folks arguing about what's in the Bible. That's how come we got so many folks that say, well, I don't believe God. They wouldn't do it that way. Well, I don't care what you believe. God cannot lie. And he gave his truth to us in the Word of God. And if the Word of God says it, whether you like it or not,
right,
it's the truth. And it is what will be. Well, I don't agree with it. Well, that's fine. Have your opinion whether or not you agree with it. But it don't matter whether or not you agree with it, whether or not it's the truth. Because God is the truth and every man is a liar.
That's right.
Pastor, what are you preaching about this for today? Because great many of us have lost a tremendous amount of stuff recently. We've lost family. We've lost church members. We've lost finances. We've lost jobs. We've lost health. And some of us are saying, why? We've got to look at this thing the way God sees it. Which had a coin. Flip that coin up in there and let it land on the ground. Put it back in my pocket. You know how quick that was? It's done and over back in my pocket. It was so fast you didn't even see it. We don't see this life as the reality that God sees it. God says, you got this life is not the life. This life is the preparation for the life.
Come on.
And once this life is over, the real life that I have prepared for you is the life.
Yes.
It's the one that's going to be eternal. It's the one that matters. It's the one that counts. We've got to look at these things the way God sees it. But you know what else God is? God is loving. God is caring. God is merciful. He knows that, yes, we are flesh and blood. And we cannot see these things the way He sees them. And He knows that when we have great losses, that our hearts ache and our minds ache and our hearts are torn apart from great loss. That's when we go to Him. This is what the Lord wanted me to say to you. I'm going to speak this over you. You shall recover all. Brother Mackey, how is that possible? I cannot show you how it's possible. But I know one who can. I can see where some of the things that you might be seeing is impossible. But I can see how He can show it to you that it is possible and He is going to restore it. Oh, no, Brother Mackey, He can't restore it. Oh, don't tell me what God can't do. Because I ain't found nothing yet that God can't do but lie. Because every word that proceeds out of His mouth, whether it's the truth before it comes out or not, every word that comes out of His mouth, when it comes out of His mouth, it is then the truth. Because God is so powerful that whatsoever He speaks becomes the truth. You shall recover all. There are people seated here that you've lost tremendous things. You're worried about your job. You're worried, if you don't get the jab, you don't lose your job. If that's the case, your job is not worth that jab. Got to prioritize things. What are we going to do for finances? What have you done so far? Were you born with that job? Or did God prepare a way to cover you up until now? Are you saying that without that job, God can't cover you? I beg to differ. Are you saying that because that loved one is gone, your life is over? Because they're saying things about your health, it's time to give up and die? Adam and Eve secured that for us only in the first book of the Bible. When Adam and Eve first sinned, God created them to live forever. And when God said in the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. They were made to live forever. They thought He meant when you did that fruit, you're going to be like Cinderella, you're going to drop dead. That's not what God meant. God meant when you're supposed to live forever, but when you commit that sin, you're going to start aging. You're going to start dying that minute. And that's what happened. They started aging and they started getting old. I Googled all my symptoms on WebMD. You know what other things are wrong with me? I'm getting old. When you get old, guess what happens? Your body breaks down. You age. You get slower. You get heavier. Your health goes in a different direction than it has. Oh, my brother Mary, why? Because my Bible tells me that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If something should happen and my life should be over, I'm going to be where I wanted to be for 38 years. I'm going to be in the presence of God Almighty. I'm going to be dancing on streets of gold, and you're going to be here. First one of y'all praise me back to life, I'm going to be mad. I might not make it to heaven after that. If I ever put my foot in glory, and you pray me back here, I'm going to have to kill you. You know what I'm talking about? And I might not make it back after that. Look what I'm saying to you. Yes, we're getting old. Yes, life ends in coming. Look, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die. You're going to die one time. But praise be to God. You won't ever die. Once your feet hit that street goal, once you enter into the portals of glory, once you are there by that crystal river and the sea of glass, once you are there and you see the holy city of Jerusalem, once you are there in the very presence of God, you shall never die again. Not only that, there will be no sorrow, there will be no pain, but God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more suffering. There shall be no more hunger. Lost things, you want them back. I need you to come stand up here in front of me. If you've lost God said to David, pursue, and you shall restore all. Think about that now. Pursue. Don't lay there and wallow. Go after that which you want. Feel the anointing move right there? Did you feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost move right there? Go after. Somebody, more than one, there's a number of you standing here, you want the fire of your joy that you had serving God to come back. You're standing here because of that, more than one of you. You can't, well, hey, that's a simple thing. That's something God wants to happen. That's something God wants to do. That's something God wants to happen for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody else, you came up here because of great loss, family, friends. He shall restore all. Let me tell you, those loved ones that are gone on, I know mine will be waiting for me at the gate. I know mine's going to be there. And when God gives them back to me there, they're never going anywhere else. He shall restore all. The loss of a child there with God. He has them now. And nobody can cradle and love that child like God can. You couldn't even do that. That spouse is waiting in the portals of glory. The job that you are so concerned about losing, the finances you're so concerned about losing, God, He said, consider the lilies of the field, which neither toil nor neither do they spin. But Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed such as thee. And God takes care of him, or not to spare a soul for a bargain. And yet not one of them will fall if God does not know it. There is nothing so small or insignificant in your life that God does not care. Somebody needs to just lift your hand and glorify. Somebody needs to see His face. He's calling out right there. I can feel it in this altar room. He's calling out to some folks saying, reach out to me. Reach out to me. Trust in Him. And if there's something He's speaking to you to do, He told David, go chase them down and take back what's yours. Go to the enemy's camp and take back what belongs to you. If there's something you want back, if the Lord tells you to do something, I don't care how insignificant, how small you think it is, and how powerful, how weak you think it might be, if God tells you to do it, the strength is not in the action. The strength is in the obedience to God. The Spirit of the Lord is calling out this very thing. And it is stirring within hearts and souls in His room. He's calling out to someone. It's not just somebody here, but there's several online that's watching. God is calling out. His Holy Spirit is reaching out and gripping your heart. And it's wonderful and it's terrifying at the same time. But you can feel His power, you can feel His strength, you can feel His presence, and He's drawing you. He's calling you to an altar of repentance. He's calling you to accept Him, to receive Him. If God is calling out to you now, I don't care if you have been a Sunday school teacher for 75 years. I don't care if you're the pastor. I don't care who you are. If God is calling out to you, you don't second guess God. You come forward and do what He says. And let Him restore all. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today on Saved News Radio. Join us each week on the air at the Haven of Hope Church, 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road, between Highway 222 and Memorial Church Road, just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m. with fellowship dinner in the fellowship hall after every service each week, and Tuesday night prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church. Hope for the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.